Yes, it
All
is.
All right. So Wednesday night, that's the faithful, right?
There you go.
Praise God. All right. Pretty much anywhere you go, when you go on Wednesday night, you know they know the word. They can quote scripture with you. Amen. They're already saved. Might need to be resaved a couple of times, but amen. But it's good to be here, and I love Pastor Eddie Allen. And I was very shocked when you asked me to come back tonight and preach. But I obey the Lord. I believe he opened the door and asked, put it on your heart. And I respect this man. You've got a great pastor. How many believe that tonight? Great man of God. Worked here many years. Amen. My granddad knew your granddad. And I think both of them gone on to be with the Lord now. And I'm telling you, Brother Allen, you tore me up Sunday when you sang that song in honor of your granddad. Amen. If you ever see the bright light shine, I'm just going to go ahead and walk out to the parking lot and cry for a while and then come back in and I'll hear you preach. Amen. But there's a light in the window, right? Amen. After my dad died, my granddad, every time he'd try to sing that song at church, he'd just get down and cry, and he'd say, I could see Putt or Claude Smith standing on the other side of that river waiting on me to come home. But I love the Lord. How about you? Just give me a minute to get comfortable. And I've preached quite a few times and over the years, and I wasn't too nervous until I heard my mother, future mother-in-law, is going to be here. Then I got all tore up. I told Cindy, said, Mama's coming. And I was like, I don't know what to say now, but I'm so glad you're here, Linda. Let's give her a warm welcome. So glad that she's here tonight. And I hope she'll still let me be her son-in-law one day. Amen. After this is done and said and over with. Amen. But isn't the Lord good? Amen. Turning your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And want to take a text here and share some things with you that the Lord has laid on my heart. I've thought long and hard over what to talk about tonight, preach, teach. We called it preaching, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching, and just ease on in. How many of you are going to be in this with me tonight? You know, when Pastor Allen's preaching, I don't hold back an amen because it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? It does. I love preaching with people who like to preach with you. And so if you'll preach with me, I'll preach fast, quick, try not to be too loud, and we'll get on home tonight. But I do feel like if you came here tonight that you will receive something here in your heart. I don't take this lightly, and I believe God did give me a word for this service tonight. So the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. Now this is Paul speaking to his young preacher, son in the Lord, Timothy. When I dwelt first in Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Turn around to somebody and say, you've got something. Therefore I remind you, sometimes God needs to remind us. Pastor Eddie, you reminded me Sunday night. He said to stir up the gift, oh hallelujah, of God, which is, everybody say, in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us, what? Come on. But of power. Wait, let's go back and say that again. Say it like you mean it, with power. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. The power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. He said on down, he said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I want you to catch this next little. I've skipped down to about verse 12. Just to save your knees so you can sit down in just a second. Everybody say, I am not ashamed. One thing I like about this president, he's not scared. Come on, I'm not going to preach politics tonight, but he's not scared. Come on now. The Lord is looking for some people that will stand up and say, I'm not ashamed. Because the world has beat us down where you feel like you can't take a stand for anything without being called a name. Come on, somebody.
But he said, I am not ashamed. Somebody say it like you mean it. I am not ashamed for whom I have believed and am persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. That he is able to keep what I have committed to him into that day. And I want to talk for just a few minutes. I have been persuaded. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm persuaded about some things. Lord, we ask you to bless our minds, open our hearts. Lord, let us receive the light of the Holy Ghost that is wanting to shine into our minds. You are bigger than any river. You are greater than any ocean. And Lord, we cannot even begin to understand all the things that you have in your word for us. God, I pray that you would open us. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Persuade us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad they're here. And sit down. Amen. Paul said, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded of some things. He said it also in another scripture over in Romans. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, everybody say death, nor life. And he begins to list some things. But one of the saddest scriptures in the Word of God that I have ever read, and when I was really just engrossed in my study one day, I was reading and Paul stood before Felix. And Felix looked at him and said, almost, he heard Paul's testimony and how Jesus had saved him on the road to Damascus with the light that shined down. And Felix heard that testimony and he halted between two worlds, amen, light and darkness. And he looked at Paul and he said, almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We remember him from those few words that he spoke. Can you imagine what history would say about Felix if he had been persuaded that day the way God had persuaded Paul? Amen. I was reading this tonight and I thought about, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you because of your grandmother. Amen. Not because of you, but those that came before you. I'll try not to get a little emotional tonight because I have a grandmother that's gone on to be with the Lord who I love very much. I think one day I'm just going to go out in the woods down by the creek and just have a good cry and get it all out so I can talk about these things. Amen. But I remember my grandmother telling the story one day. I got away from the Lord and I was fighting my way back. Anybody ever got away and you're trying to fight your way back? Amen. It's always harder coming back the second time. Amen. Try the third time. It gets a little harder every time. Amen. But she said, I'm not worried about you, son. She said, because my story when I was just a baby. Now, my dad pastored most of my life. I don't remember these days, but it was in the early 70s and back when I was just a baby, him and my mom were caught up in the 70s movement on drugs, and my grandmother would come and get me on Saturday nights, Friday nights, because she didn't want me in that kind of mess. I was only about a year old, and she said, I remember I would lay you between me and your grandfather, and we would pray over you, and I would anoint you, and I would say, God, use this young man. Use this man, God. Let the devil wants to destroy him even as a child with all this stuff is going around, but God protect him and use him and protect him from these things that are around him. She said, I know what God put on your life way back then when you were just a baby and you didn't even know the words that I was saying. I prayed for you and the anointing upon your life. There are some of you here right now. You are not running off of what you have done, but there are people that have gone on with the Lord, but they prayed for you and they laid hands on you and the anointing was put into your life, and the devil is trying to come every way he can to try to destroy the sound mind. Come on, somebody. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded, Timothy, not because of who you are. I won't think about that. But because of who your grandmother was. That's what he said. I'm persuaded not because of what you've done, but because of what grandma did. And Eunice, how many knows that none of your prayers just fade away? Once you've laid something on the altar of God, it is there forevermore. I don't know about you, Brother Allen, but I've had things come back into my life 10 and 15 years later that I prayed about. And I sought God about. And all of a sudden, I forgot about it. I forgot about the things that I laid on the altar. I remember you when I was young and first starting out and just loving God and serving God. I started working as a youth leader in the church. And I would get down and I would say, God, I want to be used of you. Whatever it takes. years later, after I've been through hell and high water, the Lord said, do you remember that time? Do you remember that time when you were about 22 years old and you were down there in the church all by yourself and you were praying and you're sweating and you're just saying, God, whatever it takes, I want to be used by you. I said, yes, Lord, well, that's what it took. Oh, God, if I had known that, I don't know if I'd ever prayed that prayer. Come on now. Hey, man, you ever prayed for patience and then all of a sudden everything in your life breaks loose and you're like, why did I ever pray for patience or long-suffering or any of these things? God has a way of holding on to our prayers. And not only our prayers, but the prayers of the saints that go on to be with God. They're still in the altar of God. They're still in the fragrance in the throne room of God. And while they've gone on and been with the Lord, you can rest assured when hell comes against you, when hell comes against the church, that those prayers that started this thing, that pounded this thing, are still in the altar room of God. And He's still hearing those prayers. Turn to your neighbor and say, prayers never die. I feel I'm getting a little loose in this place now. I feel like I could preach a little bit tonight. Everybody say prayers never die. Sometimes we don't understand the process. But if we can endure the process and keep a sound mind, that's hard for the pastor, isn't it? Sometimes the process we've got to go through will drive us about insane. But if we can keep a sound mind. Three things: power, love, sound mind. I was reading that just sitting in the parking lot. And I looked over at Cindy. And I got excited. I said, Cindy, listen to this. Things come in threes. I said, what are the three things the devil come to do? And she said, to steal, kill, and destroy. I said, exactly. He wants to steal your power. There's not a person in here that doesn't have power with God. And his mission is to steal the power of God that rests inside of you. So how does he do that? Second, he kills your love. You ever got cold and indifferent? You ever got to a place where you didn't feel like witnessing no more? You ever got to a place where going to church was more of a routine than a love? Come on, somebody. Have you ever got to a place where you've been talked about, put down, lied about, and you just said, what's the use anyhow? He wants to kill your ability to love. It's so hard in a second relationship to love like you did in the first relationship. Why? Because you laid all that trust there, and then it was trampled on. Come on. And some people never learn how to love again because it's been trampling. It has killed their ability to love. Why did he say? He said we need to return to what?
Say it louder.
Our first love. Remember that first love when you first got that zeal. Remember when you first got baptized and you were just want to tell everybody how wonderful it was to be baptized in his name. Do you remember that? Can you really remember that? Do you remember that first kiss? Some of y'all going to get asked on the way home, where was it? You better be thinking right now about what men. You better be remembering where that first kiss was. But do you remember the excitement, the sweating of the hands? And do I lean in or do I not lean in? Does my breath stink or does it not stink? Does anybody remember those first moments in your love life? Amen. That first holding of hands, you'd have to wipe your hand on your pants and then hold it. And you get to sweat and you'd wipe your hands on your pants. Wasn't that awesome though? That puppy love, that first love, that excitement. Everything was exciting. And no matter what she said, you didn't even remember half of what she said, but it was exciting. Come on now. What if we could remember our first love with God again? What kind of revival would Billerica start having once again? Come on. If we could remember what it was like just to, I want to be the first one to the house of the Lord. I want to be the first one praying with someone in the altar. I want to be the person, my God, when's the last time somebody first ran an aisle? I want to be the first one to tell the pastor, I support him. I'm with him. I'm standing strong with him. Come on, somebody. Everybody else will be the first to talk about him. You'll never win that race. Come on, somebody. He said, I am persuaded that that anointing that is in you, that if you'll walk in that power, if you'll keep that love. And here's the last thing. He said, he come to kill your power, steal your love, and destroy the thought process in your mind. This is where we treat you a little bit. As a man, we've been through this. In his, so is, and out of the abundance of the mouth does what? Y'all don't have to be scared. I'm not going to trick you. We're all on the same verse here. So as a man thinks in his, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is who you are. This is the seat of your emotions. And this forms the world that you live in. Okay? As a man thinks in his heart. So when the devil begins to kill, steal, and destroy, he takes away your power. Why? By changing what you speak. By attacking your mind. Timothy, be of power, be of love, and be of a what? A sound mind. Because if you ever lose your mind, you're going to lose your love and you're going to lose your power along with it. Come on. If you ever lose your... See, that's where the world is today. And I'll try not to preach too much politics, but I want you to think about this. For the last 10 or 15 years, the devil's done a good job in keeping the church silent. Think about it. It even got there for a minute where they started passing laws where you couldn't even say anything derogatory or take a stand on anything from a pulpit. Now, you know, God forbid you ever state what you truly believe in your heart and mind at a family get-together. Come on now. They used to say, don't talk about religion or politics. You can't talk about nothing no more. Come on. Praise the Lord. But we have noticed what happens when the tide begins to change, when someone they think's crazy just starts speaking his mind. And really, it's what's on the mind of most believers in the nation today. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the change? I have. Somebody had to say some things. Somebody had to say, all right, enough's enough. This thing's got as crazy as I'm going to let it get. And see, that's the way the enemy works in your life. If you can never begin to affect your mind and your ability to speak, amen, then if he can do that, he can begin to take away the power and the love of the church. Now, what drawed you to God? Was it just because you needed a change in your life or you needed a club to join? Or was there something in that first love that brought you to him and you felt the power of salvation in your life and something changed on the inside of you and you become persuaded that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That he is the one true God. That there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God who's above all, through all, and in you all. Is anybody persuaded here tonight? Are you persuaded here tonight about some things? So the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you read this the other night. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And by faith, everybody say faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He said by faith, the world was framed by the Word of God. So he attacks your mind and he begins to affect the way you think. And you're going to eventually, Papaw, can I read it? I'm going to quote my Papaw's poem. He used to quote this all the time. He said, there once was an old owl who sat in the oak. You ever heard this one? The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Lord, help me be like that wise old bird. If you want to know what somebody's really thinking, just sit around and hear them talk for a while. Amen? If you want to know how close somebody really is to the Lord, just sit at the dinner table with them and get quiet. And let them begin to talk about. Because eventually whatever's in the is going to come out of the. And what a great fire that mouth can do what? It can kindle. So. There is something to be said about that Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he come to steal, kill, and destroy? The power, love, and your mind. Because if He can change the way you speak, He can shift the winds of revival in a church. If He can change the way the people talk and what they're talking about, all of a sudden things can be happening, begin to stop. Why is that? The world was framed by the what? The Word of who? Of God. How do you think your world is framed in your life? One of my fiancé's most favorite sayings is, take it back. Amen. If you say anything negative about let's say, an illness over her, she'll say, take that back. I don't want that spoken over me.
Amen.
I don't want you to, and sometimes I pick at her a little bit, but I think there's some truth in what she's saying. Sure. I don't want spoken over me in my life, Pastor Allen. I don't want you to tell me I'm sick. Take that back. I believe I can be whole. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I don't want you to speak certain things over me in my life, because I understand the power of the Word. Amen. I understand that I am a son of God. I have kingship and authority in the kingdom of God. So when I speak, amen, things happen in the spirit realm. How many believe that tonight? Amen. I don't need to go into a deep Bible study. When I speak, things begin to happen. And when I speak, amen, things that are pure, amen, things that have a good report, amen, things that are a sound mind, amen, God begins to move and angels begin to move and things begin to, even when I think they're not happening. Daniel said, Gabriel said to Daniel, he said, 21 days when you begin to pray, the Lord sent me to give you a word. But for 21 days, he said, the prince of Persia, that demonic man, rose up and withstood me and fought with me. And finally, Michael the archangel came and took over the battle so that I could deliver you a word from God. Just because you haven't heard from God yet doesn't mean He's not coming. Come on, somebody. Somebody's praying about something right now. Somebody's seeking God about something right now. I'm here to tell you, just because it ain't there yet doesn't mean God hasn't answered and sent an angel to minister to you. Send an angel to open the door. Just because, amen, the doors hasn't blown off and you haven't built a new building yet doesn't mean all the prayers for revival have not been answered. They're on their way. I believe they're on. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you about your church. Somebody say amen. Brother Bollenbacher praying years ago, God, give me this city. Give us this city for God. Give us this city for Christ. Pastor Allen praying for years, Lord, I want to see the lost saved. I want to see revival. I want to hear the water splash. I want to hear somebody commit their life to God and get baptized in His name. Come on, somebody. Those prayers are still before God, but all hell is withstanding it. All hell is trying to keep it from happening. But somebody's got to realize and remember who you are in God.
Hallelujah.
Who am I in God? Peter said we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. Amen. So I understand and I'm persuaded. I've not always been persuaded. There are times I've been unpersuaded. Come on, somebody.
Am I wrong here?
There's times I've stumbled. Ask my family. Your family knows. There's times I fail. Has anybody ever failed?
Yeah.
But I am persuaded tonight. I'm persuaded His anointing has never left. I'm persuaded that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I'm persuaded that if He ever promised you something, He is more than... Come on, somebody's just thought of a promise when I said that. You thought of a promise a long time ago that was given to you. You've forgotten about, but here, all of a sudden, it came back to your mind. That promise that God gave you, He will fulfill. Sarah, I know you're trying to fix what God's trying to do with Hagar, but if you just let the process take its course, God's going to give you your own son. Come on, somebody. And you're going to be the mother, and Abraham's going to be the father of many nations. Don't try to work against the process of what God is doing. Just believe that if He gave me a promise, come on, somebody, if He gave me a word, if He gave me a promise, everybody say, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Is anybody walking on some promises? I am. I'll be the first. I'm walking on some promises. Faith is the thing, the substance of things hoped for. And I'm going to hurry up here. I'm fixing to close. Y'all been so kind for a Wednesday night. It's hard to preach on Wednesday nights. I don't care where you're at. Y'all have made it easy. Y'all have made it very easy. Faith. If there's an up, for you to know there's an up, there's got to be a what?
Down.
You know what the color white is because the exact opposite is in contrast. So I can look at that white trim on that wall, and I realize how white it is by that black piano between me and it. The opposite. Faith has an opposite, and I'll leave with this. The opposite of faith is fear. And he was very quick to point out, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not real. Fear is not real. Danger is real. That car heading toward that kid, that danger is real. But fear is not real. Fear is an imagination gone wild. Fear can cause you to lay in a bed at night and come into your room. I had it happen to me one time. And get and freeze you where you're just staring at the ceiling and fear come all over you. Is there somebody in the house? Is there somebody in there? Come on, am I talking to anybody? Have you ever had the spirit of fear come over you? Is there anything? And you get to where you can't even breathe. Fear, amen, while it's not real, it can seem real. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it's getting a God imagination. I haven't seen, I believe that God's going to save my kids. I know they're not in church right now. Come on, am I talking with somebody? I don't see them in the altar. They won't come with me. I'll call them. They won't come with me right now. But I believe, I have faith that I put a sowed seed inside of them. And I'm going to see it come and I'm going to reap that harvest one day. Come on. Hallelujah. I believe it. That's faith. Don't ever let get a fear will come in and take your faith away and do a destruction to what God's trying to do in your family. Even though you can't see it, keep believing it. Fear will say, my kid's going to die before they make it back. What if they're in a car wreck? Come on, somebody. What if something happens to them? Oh, God, please let them get to the altar before they die and go, that's not faith, that's fear. I believe they might, I might even have to turn, Paul said one place, he said, we turn them over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh so that by their spirit can be saved. Did you know he said that? He had no fear. He said, if I got him, turn him over to the devil for a little while, I'll do that. That's what he said. Somebody say, I will not fear. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I fear? If your wife would come on, play a little song for us as we close. If she's here, if not, all right. I had fear hit me a while back. I was doing a lot of deep study and finding out some things that I'd never seen that God showed me in His Word. But fear had come on me. I went through a divorce. It happens. And my kids weren't with me. I had four beautiful children. And that absence of not being in that home every day. Fear. What if some man's brought into the house and they abuse my daughters? What if I'm not there to keep an eye on them and they get hit by a car? What if just something, anything? Then about 4 years ago, everybody was being kidnapped, it seemed like. You ever notice how media can put fear on you? All of a sudden, there's like 10 home invasions across the U.S., and it's all they focus on, or two or three kids get kidnapped. It's all they focus on, when in reality, they're getting kidnapped every day. In reality, they can put fear on you. And that fear come on me. And I was trying to study the Word, and I was trying to move on with my life. And I'd met this beautiful lady right here and just, you know, have a life. But fear was causing me to be consumed. And I began to pray, and I said, God, you've got to somehow help me with this. My fears are destroying me. I don't know about you, but I love my kids. I love my kids more than myself. I'd take a bullet for every one of them in a split second. I ain't even got to think about it. How about you? And I felt the Lord come and impress me one night as I was praying, and He said, I'm going to lift this from you. Study my word. Keep into my word. So I continued to study His word. One night I was laying in bed, and I heard my daughter scream. I woke up. There's no way that anybody can ever tell me I didn't hear her scream. She was 2 hours away, but I heard her scream. Chloe, I heard it, and I can hear it right now. I set up 2 o'clock in the morning. I got on the phone. I called my mother. I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, but I just heard Chloe scream in terror. I need you to pray. And she's my witness that it happened. I said, pray. Because it's fear that just magnified it. But God give me a promise. Everything's going to be all right. So I just struggled with that. And the next day, called, you know, Chloe, you okay? Everything was okay. What's wrong, Dad? Nothing. Just good to hear your voice. But again, begin to pray. 2 weeks from that night, she was right there in Bremen, right on 78, turning on to 78, coming out from where Buck Cannon Highway, that road that separates the two. She pulled out in a little PT Cruiser and got T-bone in the side, her great aunt. She got the great aunt got life-lighted to Grady Hospital and ended up passing away. My daughter was sitting right there beside her in the front seat of that car. The whole side of the car is mashed all the way up to her seat. Sherry didn't make it. Aunt Sherry didn't make it. The witnesses here, Joanne. Chloe walked out of that car in that wreck with seatbelt bruises. And that was it. If you looked at that car and you saw that car, you'd say, there's no way his little 14-year-old daughter walked out of that car wreck with seatbelt bruises. When I got that phone call, and I warned Sherry. Sherry was such a beautiful lady. She lost her life, but God spoke to me and said, 2 weeks ago, I let you know what was going to happen so you could pray and angels could intercede. Stay in my word. I've got your children protected. Do not fear. No matter how far they may seem from God, my hands are on them. Come on, somebody. And God lifted that fear. I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly sleep, eat. It consumed me. But that night, He lifted that fear by letting me know. Amen. The angel, David said in Psalms 34, he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and deliver them from all of their trouble. Do you believe that tonight? I refuse to allow my imagination to run wild. I refuse to allow fear to dominate my life. But I'm going to walk this walk of faith. Let's all stand. I'm going to walk this walk with faith. He cannot steal my joy. He cannot steal my love. He cannot steal my power. He cannot kill my love. And I refuse to allow Him access to my mind. For God has not given us the spirit of, but of sound mind. How many believe that tonight? Paul said this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, but we stand here not crushed. We are perplexed. You ever been perplexed, Joanne? How about you, Linda? You ever been perplexed by things in life? We are perplexed, but not in despair. How many of you have been persecuted before, but not forsaken? Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus. All these things may encompass us, but I am persuaded. He said in the book of Romans, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Pastor, I am persuaded tonight. God is real. He is alive. He is on the throne. He is wanting to give you revival. It's going to happen. 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 Does anybody believe it? Come on. The storms may blow around you, but revival's here. It's here. It ain't coming. It's here. Do you believe that tonight? I believe it. I'm going to make sure my mind stays on track. I'm not going to let what's going on around me affect the way I think. I'm not going to let what's going on around me tear me down. I'm not going, come on now. I'm not going to let what's going on around me destroy me, but I'm going to stand strong. Stand strong with your pastor. Come on now. Stand strong with your pastor. I was talking with Miss Linda the other day. She said, yeah, years ago we voted in this young man, and I wasn't sure about him at first, but he's proven himself, and he's become a good pastor, and he's become a good orator of the Word of God. Come on, somebody. You got a good pastor, you got a good thing. And you got a good pastor tonight. Do you believe that? Stand strong with a man of God. Stand strong as a church. Stand in unity. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel it, the Holy Ghost. Stand strong. He said, how blessed is it when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. You want the anointing to flow? Stand strong in unity. Link arms with somebody right now and say, I refuse to be a man torn asunder. I'm going to stand in unity. I'm going to stand in unity with your pastor tonight. Come on, let's pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we stand here tonight in power and love and a sound mind, in unity, let the anointing begin to flow on this Wednesday night. Let the anointing begin to flow through this church right now. Let it flow out to those that are here tonight, God. In your name, Jesus. Let the winds of revival, the winds of revival begin to blow again, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And somebody said amen.